we desire to share our love, life, and legacy with the hopes that it inspires, compels, and challenges others. We're all about growth and leveling up, and that is what we aim to do. Now, something that we would like for everyone to understand is that this podcast is based on our opinions, framed from our life's experiences and perspectives. This is not to say that we are right and you're wrong. This is merely to challenge and elevate our lives, your life, and the conversations that surround the topics we speak on. Now, without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast. What is acid reflux?
I felt like I said acid reflux.
No,
but
babies.
What did I say again?
You said acid reflex.
But it's acid reflux.
Reflux.
Past tense. I just went.
Let's go ahead and get a few songs.
We desire to share our love, life, and legacy with the hopes that it inspires, compels, and challenges others. We're all about growth and leveling up, and that is what we aim to do. Now, something that we would like for everyone to understand is that this podcast is based on our opinions, framed from our life's experiences and perspectives. This is not to say that we are right and you're wrong. This is merely to challenge and elevate our lives, your life, and the conversations that surround the topics we speak on. Now, without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Because this is about to be an interesting conversation.
You think so?
I really do think this is about to be an interesting conversation.
Everybody out celebrating single day.
I understand. We have who we have on. Share if you are on with us. Please share this podcast. Tonight we're going to be talking about an interesting topic. As most of you, if you don't know, there has been a viral clip that's been going around about a broadcaster by the name of Ebony K. Williams. She interviewed with Iyanla VanZant, and they had a discussion that kind of took a lot of people back a little bit based on her comments in the interview and then after when she doubled down. So I actually want to put the initial video up for you guys. So you guys, if you didn't catch it, you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
You said that you cannot teach a man or tell a man how to be a man. So I will not ask you to indict men in this question. But I do want you to speak, Iyanla, to how women need to, position ourselves so that we can be in our divinity, so we can have our crowns right, how we can create and not build, when some of us, quite frankly, feel that the men that are available to us, and I'm talking about across the color spectrum, across the age spectrum, trust me, I've done them all, they are not positioned to protect nor provide because of some of the statistics we just talked about. They're not earning the incomes. They're not having the resources, and some of them are not even showing up in the leadership.
Would you date a bus driver? You, would you date
a bus driver? If he owns the bus. If he owns it, if he owns the bus.
See, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. Okay. Because the standards and requisites, and I'm not talking about him laying on his sofa playing video games all day. I'm not talking about that. But the standards and the criteria that we use to measure men is off for who we are as women and who they are in this society. I would date a bus driver if he loved driving the bus. If he was a man of integrity, if he was good to his mama, if he treated me well, I would date a bus.
Oh, that you've said.
All right. That is the initial what we're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. The question was posed to her very plainly. Would you date a bus driver?
And I love how.
Iyanla?
How she just does that.
Yes.
Like in all poise.
Yes.
She let her talk, ask her question. Would you date a bus driver?
Very soft. Yeah. Her femininity. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sorry, go ahead. She asked the question very plainly. And it was off the question being posed to her. How do we walk in our divinity? And it was based off Iyanla doing feminine coaching and teaching women how to actually tap back into their femininity. So Ebony asked that question based off, you know, basically who Iyanla is and what she teaches about femininity. So when the question was posed, Iyanla asked specifically you, Ebony, would you date a bus driver? She paused. Mm-hmm. Then she gave the smirk. And the answer was, if he owns the bus. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Iyanla was trying to get out of her. Because in that moment, she was attacking the mindset. Mm-hmm. She asked that specific question for that reason. Mm-hmm. Would you? Because she knew what the answer was going to be. Because there was another interview I heard Iyanla say that, in the Breakfast Club interview, that women are men in skirts these days. Mm-hmm. So she knew what kind of response she was going to give. And once she got the response, she said, that's the problem. The problem is that the expectations and the requisites that we use to find the men, is, you know, that we want to women, is off. So why does the man have to own the bus? Why can't he be a man of integrity, have good character, love what he loves to do, loves you? Because
that don't pay the bills.
I understand that, and that's why she said we're wrong and we're off. It's the intangible things that I feel that are more important that people need to focus on. And what Ebony did is what I hear so many people that have big platforms do. And they get the ears of millions of people and they skew the reality of what it looks like in the dating scene. It's more, it's not about the money and the status. And that's what people like to base their seeking of mates on. It's not what can I bring to the table outwardly. It's what can I bring to the table inwardly. What kind of person I am on the inside. And that's what Iyanla was trying to get her to understand. It's the intangible things.
But what if people think that that's just a given? That, you know, when you ask me what I'm looking for or what's my expectation, that you should already know I want somebody that has a good character, that has good integrity, that would love me, treat me, wouldn't hit me. Like, could it just be that those things are a given? And when people answer, they're giving the things that are usually not the norm.
I understand what you're saying, and they may be a given, and that's why we say in our coaching that people do relationship from assumptions. Mm-hmm. Because giving is saying that you assume that person should be like this already.
Yeah.
But nothing should be assumed.
That's
everything
true.
Should be inquired about, asked about, intrigued about. So it shouldn't be a given that that person loves their mama and is a person of integrity, a person of character. No, who that person is who that person is. But that's what you should be focused on. Not if he is successful in his business, if he has a 4-year degree, if, you know, he has all the drive and all this other stuff that we base our seeking on.
But can those things tell you about the individual? Like, if he has a 4-year degree or whatever, he could be driven, you know, he can complete things. I mean, can you?
No, that's a false equivalency, because you having a degree doesn't determine your drive or your hustle at all whatsoever, because most of the people that have been successful and are successful right now don't have college degrees.
I mean,
so
I get it.
it's a false equivalency. And then that goes to ask the question, well, what do you base success on? What does success look like for you? Because that brother that Iyanla was talking about, to me, if he really loved driving that bus,
that
he took
success.
Pride in it, that's success for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he actually got to. And who knows what kind of background he comes from? Who knows what kind of family that he came from? So that him getting into that position where he can take care of himself, he gets an honest wage from an honest living, and he loves, protects his mom, wants to love and protect you, why wouldn't that be enough? And this is why I'm gonna answer my own question. Because people like Ebony K. Williams and people that have that mindset honestly don't know who they are. So they use the outward things as qualifiers for who they are because they don't know who they are inwardly. You take the facade down, you take the accolades away. Who is that person? And I don't know her personally, but what she presents to the public, I can very well say that she probably doesn't know who she is. So she has to use the outside qualifiers to dictate who she is seeking for based on who she thinks she is, because she really doesn't know internally who she is. Because everything Iyanla said is, in my opinion, from me being married for 16, almost 17 years, is what a woman needs. Somebody that loves you, somebody that values you, somebody that protects you, somebody that cherishes you. All the intangible things that we as human beings need. Forget that he can't have, that he doesn't own the bus. What is owning the bus if that man is a person of integrity and a man of character?
It could be, you know, the financial liberties that he would be able to have. It could be the trips. It could be, you know, the money in the bank. You know, it could say that he has the protection that she wants, which is financial security.
Got it. My question is, why is financial security so big for women?
Oh, I got a better question.
Okay, got it.
Why is financial stability so big for women who already have money? That's my question.
Ooh, that's good.
Because she is a lawyer. She's successful. She's successful. She makes, you know, probably eight figures or whatever. So, you know, I saw some comments of people saying that, you know, she wants to date her equal or whatever. But is money really makes you equal?
Right.
You know, so it's right. It's a lot of subjectiveness anyways. Right. You know, even in our viewpoint, you know, it's subjective.
Well, I can't say it is subjective.
It is subjective.
Okay.
Because success and relationship and all those things are measured by whoever's perceiving it.
You're right. But is that right?
I mean, it's right in their own eyes.
Nah, yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, because I also want to play a video that she used to double down.
Yeah, because that's the part that I really want to talk about.
Yeah, she doubled down in her view, and that's why I say it doesn't matter. But let me get that up real quick.
Well, while you're getting that up, no. I just want to. Oh, you got it up already?
It's right here.
Oh, okay.
Out of the 50,000 plus comments posted on social, I only saw a handful that even considered the possibility of a bus owner being a more aspirational position. And recognizing that I am actually speaking and pouring into the ascension of black men when I said what I said. But see, no, some of y'all were too busy naming and shaming me personally and black women in general as undesirable gold diggers and much worse. Now, I suspect that some of y'all are the same men that were bringing home C's and D's on your report cards, only to then be coddled by parents that said, well, that's okay, as long as you're doing your best. Well, listen, I love and believe in the excellence of black men. So no, my dear, C's and D's or any other form of mediocrity is not okay. No, I will not create a soft place for you or anybody that I love to fall comfortably into the bigotry of low expectations. So I'm gonna say one more time, there's absolutely nothing wrong with driving a bus. My mother Gloria drove one for years. But could it be that black America has been sold a narrative of average, regular, and typical being good enough for us? Well, see, that's called white supremacy. And in this case, it takes the form of conditioning black Americans to happily accept being a permanent American underclass. But see, because I know the truth about black folk in America, no, average is not and will never be good enough for me. And the gag is, I don't think it's good enough for you either.
Man, shut the hell up. I'm sorry. She pissed me off so bad, dog.
I get what she's saying.
No,
I get what she's saying, especially when it comes to the Breakfast Club interview. I see where she was trying to go.
And if you guys want to add to the conversation, whoever's on, 843-900-4595.
I get that, you know, we're supposed to reach for the stars. We even teach our children to do everything in excellence. And excellence can look... You know, if it's a C or B and that's your excellence, that could be excellent. So I get it. My only thing is that everybody isn't going to be here.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So to have the goalposts here,
so
because
high.
Like say, is everybody get here, then everybody average again. So you got to even go even higher. It's just not a sustainable way to teach it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you have a higher expectation for you, that's okay.
Right.
But just to speak down to a group of people as if they're beneath you because you got A's and they got B's and C's or whatever it is, it just isn't right. And that's why a lot of her fans was giving her a bunch of slack, you know, and calling her names. And she really did just speak down about it. You know, we all have our places, and that's okay. That bus driver is necessary to transport a whole community of people.
Thank you.
And if that's where he or she enjoys doing it, that is great. Exactly. Because that is what's needed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And in the Breakfast Club interview, when she talked about, or what they were talking about, you know, the essential workers and things like that, those people are very important.
Yeah.
And most of them enjoy their lives.
Exactly.
It's when we get long-eyed or feel like we should own the world and things like that, where we get very discontented in the places that we are. Mm-hmm. But most people, like our parents, live very average lives, and they were happy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But to her, that's mediocre.
That's mediocre.
That's the mediocre bigotry, average, the things that she named. She talked from a place of position.
Yeah.
And it's very haughty.
And then
very
she was
proud.
Saying that, you know, the reason why she's like that, because she know AI is coming and a lot of these people's jobs won't get replaced. And that's when Charlamagne was like, you know, we might even be replaced.
Yeah.
Nobody is protected.
None
as we
of
don't
us
know
are.
How technology is going
to
go.
But it's how you use your words to describe a group of people that essentially what you're communicating is beneath you.
Yeah.
That's what she's saying. But she said it would never be good enough for me. So you saying that and then going on to say that we just accept these mediocre positions and a mediocre way of living, you're saying all these people that have accepted that are beneath you because you never will. Who are you, bro? I don't like that. And then she has a name and a big platform. She was on the Breakfast Club.
I wonder how...
It's like...
If she keeps her platform and all that, I'd be very surprised, because I'm pretty sure it's the mediocre people that gives her the attention and all that to help her make what she makes.
She'll keep it because she'll say something else that's outlandish. It'll be clickbaity. She'll chop it up and it'll go viral. She'll keep her position. But that's what pisses me off so bad, is because, and I'm sorry for going here so fast, but you have people like my wife and I. The Love Life Legacy podcast and everything that we try to stand for and what we represent, and not a picture perfect image, but a picture that is attainable. Something that we say, hey, if we could do it, you could do it. And that is Black love, Black family, you know, building together, building a legacy to leave it, leaving an impact on this world. And that's exactly who we are. We've been that way. This is what you see now is the culmination of a whole bunch of conversations from teenage years. Mm-hmm. And we try to live it out loud expressively. We try to put as much of our lives out there, outside of, you know, going into private and personal stuff. We want to keep a little bit of autonomy, but we try to live out loud because we want people to understand that finding someone is possible, building with that person is possible, having love is possible, leaving a legacy is possible, but you have to shift your perspective a little bit. What you may see have seen love to be is not what love should be in your life. Or maybe you've been looking at love the wrong way. Or maybe you've been looking at the wrong people the wrong way. Or maybe you've been looking at yourself the wrong way. And if we could be of a help to show you that it's possible through our example, then let us be that. That's what I think should be on the Breakfast Club. You know,
somebody would say you biased.
I am biased. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm biased, is because I understand the messaging. Right. Is for everybody. Rather you're here, or you feel like you're here, or you're here. Our message can meet and reach anybody because we're teaching love, unity, building, relationship, legacy, family, community.
Because it'd be that people just don't want that. No. They want the stuff Ebony K. Williams.
But no,
are
but
saying.
Listen to the language in the second clip. That's what she wants. She wants more for Black people, which I hate that she used the Black Trump card. It's almost like using the God card. You throw that card out, it kind of trumps everything. Mm. It was a cop-out. She deflected. But according to her, she wants what I feel like we want and we're trying to push. But she just went about it in a very negative and demeaning way. But she has a platform, she has a voice, and she has followers. And here we are literally living it. Mm-hmm. Not through opinion, but through example. And we can't even get a nod of view. We can't get, I'm like, something off, dog. Something off.
I don't know.
It just pissed me off, man. I'm sorry.
I know it does.
It pisses me off. You can't in one hand play down people that really are earning a honest living.
Yeah.
And are doing the best that they can and maybe are happy and successful in their life. And then say you want the best for black people. It's oxymoron.
Yeah.
I'm
their
sorry.
Their best may not be your best.
Their best is not. And it's
not. And don't give people goals that they can't obtain.
It's not. And then on top of that, it's like the reason the question was even posed to you from Iyanla is because you don't have a successful relationship.
Pretty much.
Think about this. Yeah. We're talking about somebody that does not have and has not had a long-lasting, successful relationship, but still is going to talk about what she is unwilling to accept. Duh, dummy. Maybe that's why you don't have a relationship.
That's why she said, would you marry a bus driver?
Come on, dog. What are we talking about? It's like, and then you have people saying, well, what is that? What if that's really just not for her? Then why are you talking about uplifting the black community then? Because according to statistics and how we have been portrayed throughout the generation of just suppression. Uh-oh, we got a call.
Finish your point.
From Courtney.
Oh, Courtney.
To accept, press 1.
Hey, Courtney.
Hey, y'all.
Can you hear? You can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Give me 1 second. I'm gonna finish my point. Now I'm bring you on, and because what I was saying, from just the years of systemic oppression, we have a lot of building to do in our community, as far as the family structure and the family dynamics, especially being the opposite of what we have seen portrayed on media and in our real life. It is a broken household. It is a single parent household. It is kids growing up without their dad. And we need to do better for that. Do better than the image that we have been presented the entire time. And
not the entire time, just since the 70s.
Exactly. 60s. Yeah. Exactly. So if you're not a living example, then how really are you effectively saying that you want the black community to be better?
Yeah, because the legacy dies with you.
It dies with you. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, Courtney.
Hey,
you
Courtney.
Are on live with the Love Life Legacy podcast.
Hey, y'all.
What up,
hey.
Though?
So I just called because I won't lie. I didn't even watch the whole interview because DJ Envy took me clean out. DJ Envy felt how DJ Envy's face mimicked how I felt. And so Envy was over it, like,
he was.
Yes.
Go ahead and wrap this up. And I was there with Envy. But I've seen a few people share her whatever on Facebook, and the going theme among females seems to be nobody wants struggle love. And that has piqued my interest because I'm trying to understand why we associate finances with love.
There you go.
So much that it trumps. And I feel like that's what Ebony has done. You went into, because she went into the whole, well, they didn't show the rest of, they only took that little clip. And I said I wanted someone who was loving and who was kind and who was patient and blah, 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 blah. But the first thing you are looking at is finances.
Yeah.
And then you're single. Man, those two things don't mix.
Right.
Why does the finances always have to come into play first?
Yes.
No, I'm not saying settle. And by no means am I saying settle, but that shouldn't be when finances seem to be the first thing on someone's list, whether man or woman. You tend to hear all these people talk about finances and they got it, but you single.
Right.
So what is your point? How are you contributing to society when all of what you're saying is irrelevant because you're going home to an empty bed every night?
Thank you.
How is money helping your love life? It's not.
Exactly. Exactly.
I need people to understand, and maybe you know, people who've been married for quite a while and who have gone through some things should let people know that finances is a small part of a marriage or a relationship. It plays a role.
It does.
Because even when you have money, they always say more money, more problems.
True.
So I really don't understand the whole I'm not looking for struggle love.
Yeah.
You find somebody who has, he can be the bus driver. From what I understood after this whole thing, bus drivers out here making six figures, some of them. I didn't know that, but more power to y'all.
Right.
Whatever happened to the core of building together?
Thank you.
Ebony, why does it really matter what his job is as long as he's not a bum?
Thank you.
You out here banking, sis.
That's what I said, yep.
Thank you.
If you out here banking, why are you worried about him banking? Because at the end of the day, if both of y'all out here power playing, most of those couples don't even really have time for each other.
They don't.
Long distances.
Thank you.
So what are we really talking about here? Like,
thank
so,
you.
Oh, he got a, that's why I've never understood this whole financial table. What do you bring to the table? I've never understood those conversations. Y'all.
Me either.
Right.
Y'all got to find somebody who speaks to your soul, not your pocket.
Thank you.
The rest of that stuff can come.
Thank
find
you.
Find a person who speaks to your soul because everybody literally can do for themselves.
Right. You hit it on the head.
Didn't I tell you get off this this train? You keep trying to help these people.
He be trying to help, but Courtney. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I love your point that you're making because I really think that they don't like how Jonathan started the conversation. They don't know who they are, so that's why they don't know what to attract but money. Yeah. But something tangible, something that they could see. Because if you were right inwardly,
yeah,
you know, some of this stuff would just come more naturally.
Yes.
You know, you would be considerate. You would be more kind. You would be more willing. You would live out being a helpmate. You would live out building together. It's like those inner values are missing.
Yes.
And because those values are missing, they operate off temporal beliefs based on their limited understanding of what a relationship is because they haven't been tested, tried, proven. They don't know what that, you know, what love would do. You
exactly.
know, because right. they because right. they are so I don't even know what word it is, but they are just, you know, I don't even know, but they don't get it. And that's why. So anytime I pause at any person that gives relationship advice and so hard and talking about building a community and can't build a community of their own.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely hate that she brought in the whole HBCU. Females are going to, and I get that that was the conversation that her and Iyanla were having, but sis, this is a completely different conversation.
It is.
And right. I completely get what she was trying to say.
I do too.
I completely get what you were trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
But you are not about to compare apples to oranges.
Right.
You absolutely would pass up on a good man because of the job he has. He has a job. He's not a bum. She didn't say, would you date a bum? She said, would you date a bus driver? And you were like, oh.
If he owned
the bus, what a smirk.
He got to own the bus. Huh?
Because that's what she values. She told us what she values.
But then that also bothered me because that also went back to how people tend to glorify things because even in being an entrepreneur, it doesn't mean that you have money.
Sure don't.
Right.
Most people fail at entrepreneurship for the first 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. So sis, does him really having the bus matter? And then she came back and said, well, she gave me just that scenario. She didn't say, well, what if he was the owner? And remember when Envy said, well, I know somebody who's a police officer, but he has a real estate portfolio.
Yeah.
That's the bigger than his. Well, mm-hmm. She didn't give me that scenario. Okay, so does he have to be the bus driver for 7 years and now his business is flourishing? Does he have to be a bus driver that makes over 100? Like, Ebony, when will it end?
Exactly.
It's not.
You're by yourself.
Yeah. Yes. Just be by yourself. Now watch this.
You're by yourself.
Now, Courtney.
You're by yourself.
Now, as much as, you know, we've talked about, you know, the approach Kevin Samuels took and we didn't agree wholeheartedly, did that interview and hearing her talk make you miss Kevin just a little bit?
Yes. You know, I can honestly say that I have actually never, I think I might have watched two Kevin Samuel videos.
Oh, okay.
And it was, and see, for me, I feel like, again, even with Ebony, her whole point of the HBCU, whatever, was a valid point. It's a wrong person giving a delivery. And for me, I always pay attention to the person that's delivering the message.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I can't receive anything that Kevin Samuel says, because while you're speaking on relationships, sir, you didn't have a relationship.
That's
you,
true.
You literally were out here chasing multiple females. You, from what we from what I've read and understood, you went around not paying child support. So when you start talking about these broken homes and these broken communities, that you are contributing to the broken community, I don't want to hear any of what you say, because how is it not good for the goose, but it's good for the gander.
Girl, you sound like a granny.
I know, right?
y'all know I'm old school. So, for me, I just couldn't never get with Kevin, because whatever you might be saying may be good, but you ain't living what you preaching, and I feel you.
Thank you for rocking with us, sis. You always add good commentary to the conversation.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Really
no
appreciate
problem.
You.
We I'll appreciate you. All right.
Peace.
See you later.
Hey, but she right, man. She just needs to. Ebony, just shut up, dog. Just you and everybody else that's like you that gives relationship advices, because I'm going to start doing videos stitching these people and just talking trash. Because this is the reason. And this is the reason. Maybe I'm salty. And yeah, maybe I'm a hater. But for the most part, the people that give relationship advices aren't in successful, long-lasting relationships.
And then does it cause you pause that the people that are in long-lasting relationships are quiet?
Should they be?
Why not?
Because the people that are spewing majority of relationship propaganda are the ones that have the big audience. And they're leading people astray. It's like a church analogy. It's like when you see, you know, a pastor that's teaching, you know, they have false teachings and they got big crowds and big audiences, and it just like grieves you, like, ugh, you know, they got their ears and it makes you feel a type of way. I feel like that when these people are preaching about relationships. Maybe it is the pastor in me, but I hate it. It's because it's wrong teaching.
And I get that.
It's wrong teaching. Find somebody. First of all, find yourself. Find yourself. Do the work with and on yourself, and in you discovering self, you find somebody that is also willing to discover self, and then y'all discover each other and what life looks like together.
But that's a hard ask to people that really think that they already know themselves.
That's true, because that woman that spewed all that nonsense, she feels like she knows herself. She tripled and doubled down, and I appreciate Envy's resolve. I have seen Envy hotter than that.
You have, yeah.
Yes,
he was. I like him in that fashion. In
the fact that Envy sat down the entire time and didn't lead an interview says a lot, because he's left interviews before, and I mean, rightfully so.
I mean, I don't blame him.
I would have left.
My thing is the generations that are growing up with this mindset of this chasing money hungry kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? And I have conversation with my daughters all the time, because I don't want them to think that that's okay. I don't care what they see on the media.
Yeah.
I don't want them to think that, you know, getting flew out is the goal, and, you know, and all these other toxic things that people really think their relationships are all about.
Right.
And so my thing is the younger generation, and maybe, you know, people that are hurt and you know, and I don't like the word trauma all the time, that people that just had trauma in past relationships, you know, feed off of this toxicity because it makes them feel good. It makes them feel like they can achieve things and go places.
Yeah.
That's who I really feel for.
Yeah.
Because they're setting themselves up for failure.
Failure.
You know what I'm saying? And when I look at people that are seeking relationships and can't find some, I'm going to say it nice. Well, that's not mean. Just some people may get offended by it. When you're seeking a relationship and can't find it, stay in your lane.
Oh, you know? Yes, ma'am.
Just stay in your lane.
Just stay in your lane.
And your lane will show up for you to drive in. You know, stop looking across the yard.
Right.
You know, stop looking elsewhere. ooh, I want a man this, this, and this. No, want a man where you at.
Right.
You know, if you work at McDonald's, he should work at McDonald's or so forth. Like, people have such these long eyes and long expectations and long of that, and they can't even give themselves what they want other people to give them.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. So in what you're saying, she's looking for somebody that is her equal, but can't even find it.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. It's not even that she can't find it. She probably can, but she's looking for something beyond her equal.
I got you.
And then in your equal in what regard? You're equal spiritually? You're spiritually equal, your financial equal, your intellectual equal may not be the same.
Right.
So which equal you trying to feed?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So let's say she does find somebody that's her financial equal, but maybe he's a little bit too intellectual for her. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, he doesn't let her get her way. So which one you... What are you trying to get at?
I also wanted to play the clip. I don't know if you saw what she said, that she's never had a masculine man show her the example. So she's not going to be left out here defending or not being able to protect and provide for herself.
But she already is.
But you missed it.
What?
She said she's never had a masculine man in her life, mm-hmm. to protect and provide for her. So she's not about to be out here not being able to protect and provide for herself.
That's what I'm saying. But she already is out here doing all that by herself because she don't have the example and she don't have one.
Right.
So I'm still saying she's still doing it.
I know she's still doing it.
So who is she looking for?
Right. Herself.
That's it. Because he's invisible. He's a ghost.
No, she's in love with herself.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Because she's in love with herself.
Nobody can meet this imaginary expectation. You yeah. already providing, sis.
That's it.
You already protecting, sis.
If you're that man that giving you security, if you're that man that's providing and protecting for yourself, then you're in love with yourself. So
and what's this masculinity she looking for?
Yeah, well, I don't, you know, but then this goes to my point in how you are preaching the unification of the black community, and you're not trying to do something different than what you were given or done or seen done when you were younger. For example, I wasn't raised with my father.
At all.
So instead of me saying, let me carry on that pattern, I said, no, I'm going to do it differently.
No, you should have said, I had no daddy.
Yeah, I'll make an excuse.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why I fight so hard for family. And that's why I found...
Baby, say what your dream was when you was a kid.
My dream when I was an 8-year-old child would be a husband and a father. So that's what success looks to me. Now, I have made 6 figures over my life. I have. I'm not doing too bad right now. I'm not at 6, close to it, but I'm not there. But it's fine. Mm-hmm. Because success for me from 8 was building a family, having a wife and having kids.
It wasn't a college degree.
It wasn't to be the biggest and richest millionaire, having the most women, flying private jets. It is doing what I'm doing now, which is building community so that our community is affected. So my vision,
5 children.
And 5 children be able to do that. So my vision was bigger than me at 8. And this was in a single parent household.
That's right.
As a latchkey kid. And my mom worked hard, loving, and worked very hard. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have the example of the imagery that I feel like I worked hard to become.
So I became what I missed. Yes.
That's what she can't do.
She can't.
But it's talking community.
Yes.
And talking black power and all this stuff. To me, the most indefensible guard that you can have is black family. Is black family. That's where unity comes from. Mm-hmm. That's where legacy comes from. That's where generations are birthed from. Mm-hmm. Because your example is going to outlive you. That's what legacy is. So what are you talking about, sis?
She's talking about all the...
What are you talking about? You're talking about things that you can't take. You're talking about things that are going to die with you.
Yeah.
That's you. The tangible. Like, what are you talking about? That's why you just got to shut up. Just shut up and let the people that really believe this and that are living this talk
like
and
us.
You learn. You learn.
Pretty much.
Because you're just saying that because you don't have a degree. You see this woman right here? You see this woman right here?
I'm hiding.
You see this woman right here? And I'm going to clip this so the people that actually don't watch our podcast knows that I ain't just a hater. I promised her at 18.
17.
That was 18.
I was 17.
I promised her at 17. Thank you for correcting me. That you will be able to finish going to college.
Get
your bachelor's, and you'll be able to complete your dream of being a successful, educated woman. Trust me, join me, and I'll make sure that this happens.
You did.
I did. I said that this is not a made up story.
No, you did.
I said this. This woman is highly educated. Mm-hmm. Dr. Eva Singleton.
Doctor.
Professor Eva Singleton.
Yes.
That makes a very good living.
Yes.
Actually, currently makes more.
Just keep it going. Keep it rolling.
Just keep it rolling. So it's not me talking from, again, lack of experience. This is experiential talk. I'm talking from experience. A woman still can achieve what her dreams are
with one kid.
With a man, with a family, right? Because your personal endeavors and successes can't be bigger than the grand scheme of things, which is community, family, and legacy. And this woman did it. All of it. I'm just saying, for the people that don't understand why I'm talking like this.
Yeah.
So if you can do it, it's possible. Mm-hmm. So all of that stuff that woman was spewing, it's all a bunch of BS. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know what you're talking about. Because you don't know how to have a success relationship. You don't know how to build. And you don't know how to prepare yourself to leave a legacy behind. The right way.
Because you don't know how to love.
You don't know how to love.
We got here because you love me.
Yes.
That's how we got here.
Right.
You know, when I look back at, you know, from that day you told me that, I was very scared. Found out I was pregnant at 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew I had a dream. I knew you had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
My dream was that, hey, I was already starting my dream in college. And, you know, and that was doomsday for me. I remember standing outside that clinic on South Carolina State University campus with the papers in my hand, looking up at the sky. And I was like, Lord, please just take me now, because I don't know what this is going to do. Or I don't know how this is going to happen. And I don't know if I can trust him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I gave you your dream, so you gave me mine.
You're damn right.
Because that's what love does.
That's what love does.
So don't matter when we was up, and when we was down, when we was down. But we did it together. You know what I'm saying? We done been through foreclosure. We done been through infidelity. We done been through moving states. We done went to parental death. We done been to it all. You know,
everything.
Just raising five children at different stages and things like that. Church. You know what I'm saying? You being a former minister and all that we went through, giving our whole 20s to that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been through a lot. But no matter what, we did it together.
Thank you.
And we grew from all of our mistakes.
Thank you. Together.
And anything that we want to achieve, we know we can do it.
Together.
That's it.
Not by myself.
No.
Because I'm not always going to be strong.
Mm-mm.
There's going to be a point, to your point, Ebony, that I may not be able to provide for myself.
But then that's when I come in.
That's when you kick in.
Yeah.
And the same vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I kick in for you.
Sure did.
That's what partnership looks like. That's what love looks like. That's what building with somebody looks like.
That's community.
That's community.
That's building a legacy.
Thank you, man. Life, legacy, five strong.
You know,
man.
And whatever I have, you have.
Thank you.
So it's not about you matching. You do match me.
Yeah.
Because we share everything.
We share everything. That's it. And that's how it's supposed to be.
So,
like, come on, man. What you talking about? Like, not, and we want better for our people.
We do.
That's why we go so hard. We work to change the narrative of what the black family looks like. Now, our podcast and our brand is for everybody.
Yeah, for all races.
It's for everybody. All races. We don't discriminate against nobody.
Mm-mm.
But we understand what the mission primarily is.
Mm-hmm.
Because of where we come from and who we are.
In the narratives that
surround
by our own people.
By our own people. And we figure that we'll be a solution instead of part of the problem. Ebony, you're part of the problem. You and people that are like you are part of the problem. You're not giving solutions. Mm-mm. Because you're still teaching a very selfish mindset. You're not teaching community. You're not teaching building. You're not teaching togetherness. So I'm off my tangent, man. It pisses me off. Because there's some other people that got that same perspective, and them boy got so many followers. You hear the Charleston come out of me? Them boy got so much followers.
Well, it's okay, though.
No, we're going to keep working. We're going to keep getting our message out there. People that teach this message the way we are, I'm going to keep propping them up. I'm going to keep pushing them, and I hope they will do the same for us. Because, again, if you're not a part of the solution, you're part of the problem. You see our community in shambles. What are you doing to change it? Besides saying, go and get a bag. Yeah. It's bigger than a bag.
No, but the thing is, people going to get bags. People going to get bags they can't even afford. You know, people getting bags that's more than they rent. You know what I'm saying?
Bag, man.
Because that's what success looks like. But looking at you as being an example of success, because you had a goal that you achieved, and you did it as a team player.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
That's it.
And that's it.
That's it.
You know, but people don't have those types of ambitions. You know, one thing about having SMART goals, it has to be specific, measurable.
Right.
Yep.
Go ahead, get into your teaching bag.
I'm about to do all that.
Preach.
But all I'm saying is that when you have real SMART goals, they're realistic for you. They're time bound for you. You know, and people don't have that. People have these wild imaginations, which is could be good and is
in
right,
its own right.
In its right respect. But for the most part, most of us, we're going to be in the average rim, and we just do the best in our average rim.
That's all right.
And if that's what success looks like for you, then that's what success looks like for you. Don't die trying to achieve the moon and hate your whole life. You know what I'm saying? If that's not been for you, and that's what come in with knowing your purpose.
Thank you.
And all of that. You may not be purpose for that.
Using the race card.
You know?
That's a weak argument because you know you should have just apologized. That was it. Just apologize. Say you was wrong and you're learning. And you don't know it all, but you're willing to learn. That's it. That's all you should have said.
But why would she say that? Because that would break down her whole foundation of what she's built already.
Not if you're looking to evolve as a person. You don't know it all.
Everybody ain't looking for evolution.
Hmm.
They're not. Some people are happy where they are. Listen, and that's okay too, if you're happy where you are.
Whatever.
I mean, everybody should strive to be happy where they are.
She just needs to shut up.
You just so mean.
She needs to shut up, man. I wish I could really talk the way I talk and behind closed doors, but I understand the type of platform that we're trying to create. So I'm going to be PC.
You even given that disclosure for what, honey?
Because I want people to know. I just want people to know who I am. That's it, man.
I
had put a post on Facebook, you know.
With the shack?
No, about being from the hood and being a parent raising these suburban kids.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know, man. They don't know. You got anything else?
No, just, you know, live from your values, not your beliefs. Your beliefs can change as you learn new information and evolve, but your values usually is where you're rooted at.
Right.
You know, and if things are reoccurring in your life, you know, and they're not aligned with your values, I would encourage you to get rid of them, start over, clean slate, and start building from there.
Right.
Whatever success looks like for you, I love my husband's example. Since he was 8, he wanted a family.
Yes.
And he wanted to be a husband, and he achieved that.
Yes.
So anything else is plus.
It's extra on top of it.
And he allowed me to live my dream, living it. And if I do nothing else, if you do nothing else, we're already successful.
Good.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's like.
And I think that's the beauty in it. You know what I'm saying? Things come, money go. We done been way up, you know what I'm saying? We done been way down after being so far up. But who we are has remained the same no matter where our beliefs was at because of our values of love, life
and legacy.
and you can't argue with that.
You can't.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I love it, man.
That's it.
Appreciate the people that have been on, and I'm going to chop these up and put them out there.
And if you follow the Ebony, her name Ebony K.
Williams.
Williams mindset. How is love, life, and legacy working out for you? That is my question of the evening.
That's a very good.
If
very
you
good
follow that
question.
Mindset or agree with any, well, I agree with some of the things she says, but if at the core you take in everything that she said and you don't have a, if you're not, what word I'm looking for? If you don't have reservations to certain components of what she's saying, how is love working out for you? How is legacy working out for you? And how is your relationships working out for you?
Exactly.
Honestly.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly. I don't think it's working. It's a broken cycle. You can't teach that.
You can't. I think you did a good job closing us out.
Oh.
And if you are not following us on podcasting platforms, please do so. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. We're everywhere. You can catch us with the current conversations that you're hearing now and past conversations. We have multiple episodes. Please like, share, follow, all that other good stuff. We love y'all. From us to y'all. Peace.
Peace.